Okay, so first up, you have a new client, and it could be someone that you've never met, or it could be a longtime friend, and finally the work is now going to flow. How do you learn the culture of your client's workplace, right? Showing that you care, what steps might you take? Certainly, from my perspective, I'm in-house IP counsel at USAA. Communication is key, whether good, bad, or indifferent. We're pretty hard on our outside counsel. Alan can attest to that, I'm sure. But we're a little selfish in the sense of when we have a question, we do pick up the phone and like to have someone to talk to there. I'm sure that's unfair, but it's something that we look for because we have no downtime during the day. So everything to my business clients always tends to be of immediate issue. So Michelle, I think we had identified you to start here. Like when you're talking about maybe the general work pace, you know, and explaining to that, or perhaps what might be some unique demands for you.
Yeah, I think it's always really important to have, as Anne noted, good communication with your client or your external counsel to understand kind of the level of aggressiveness and riskiness for whatever it is that the particular project that you're working on. Definitely as in-house counsel, there are different corporate cultures that may want to take a really aggressive stance on particular issues and may be more likely to let others lead on other issues. And so you kind of want to know where you stand from an overall point of view. And I think that also comes into play. I personally have had experience with kind of the right level and formality of workload and work product that you're providing. Do they need a really formal memo? Do they need just a slide deck that they can present to their executive team? So that, you know, hopefully, or I'm always looking to my external counsel to be able to help make my job easier and to make it easiest for our executives and decision makers to really understand what the issue is and what we're recommending as next steps.
Anyone else?
I just think it's useful to have as much interaction as possible with the client, like, you know, on a personal level, to see, like, you know, what you're dealing with on a daily basis, like what your goals are, what your overall goals are. You know, it's best, I think, to not cordon off your counsel too much into like their own category so much as, you know, let them know beyond the scope of just like, for example, you know, we do patent prosecution, but we want to know what's driving the client. What are their ultimate goals? Because sometimes it's relevant, you know, like sometimes it's helpful to understand, you know, what internal workings there are, what your competitors are doing, you know, and how you want to best possibly protect your IP, for example, with respect to those considerations, you know.
Fair enough. Okay. So moving to the leadership that often our internal clients, either myself or in-house counsel, has to report to, I think one of the biggest areas of making sure that there is clarity is who has the authority to make any sort of decisions? You know, it could be anything from do we file on this application? Does your IP counsel have the authority to do that, or does it have to go through some other sort of committee to perhaps are we going to file for litigation on this? Lauren, do you have something to talk to that?
Yeah, I definitely think it's important to understand who the final decision maker is, whether it's the day-to-day person at your client or their boss or perhaps someone in the business. And obviously, as you get to work with a client longer, you'll get a better idea of who the decision makers are. But I think it's, you know, important, I think as Michelle was stating, if you're trying, the day-to-day person will be probably your first line of defense or their first line, and they'll know whether or not it needs to be escalated. But it is always helpful to write things for them to be able to escalate it. So for me, it is super helpful. If I've got a question, and sometimes our escalation path comes when I disagree with outside counsel. And sometimes I escalate just to have a tiebreaker because it never makes me comfortable to disagree with outside counsel and want a third opinion. So it's always helpful to just have a very succinct email. This is our problem. Here's the question. here's my advice. So I like outside counsel that has an opinion. Don't just state the problem and ask me to give the answer. Have an opinion. Give me what you would do if you were me. I have my own opinion, so I certainly am able to disagree with you. But give me your opinion as to what you would do in as succinct a way as you can so that I can then forward that on, at least at the culture at Dell. We're very much an email culture and an Outlook culture, so that initial communication is likely going to go in an email as to what the problem is and why I'm setting up this call. So for me, that's super helpful.
I think, too, one big point of frustration that is important to get out of the way, and perhaps it could be in an initial meeting with your outside counsel, is how many people have to weigh in on a certain situation before perhaps it's go time. And so that can be very time consuming, and if that's not perhaps communicated well to outside counsel, they could be just sitting waiting for an answer, perhaps, you know, time is really of the essence. Meanwhile, we might be scrambling internal to parade, show whatever the issue is to the appropriate people and possibly to people who just need awareness of the issue so that everybody is on board. And not even talking about those things up front can be really detrimental.